Amen. That is what I want to speak about this morning, hearing from God, hearing God's voice. And I know that there's a lot of a lot of different ideas and concepts that people have about hearing God, and like, is it an audible voice? Do you have to fast and pray for 40 days before you can hear God and all that? Hearing God is not as complicated as most people make it, and it's not scary at all. In fact, it's a source of strength. It's a source of life and help. And so I want us to understand something. First of all, God is listening to us. A lot of us spend time praying, at different times. Maybe when we get up in the morning, we spend some time praying, Lord, bless my day and help me with what I'm going to do and this, that, and the other thing. But I think one of the missing components to that early morning prayer time is the component of spending time listening to God. And I know it's kind of natural. We got all of these things on our mind, all this stuff going on in our lives, and we need help with everything, and we're petitioning God for everything. But there needs to be a place where we can just sit and be still and know that He is God. Amen? Just to sit and get a word from Him. And so I want to talk about that this morning, just hearing God speak. And God, I would say, rarely speaks audibly to people, although I'm sure it's happened. It's, I've known of people who've had that happen to them. But God most often speaks to people who are open to hearing what He has to say, and He speaks to them with impressions, with some people call them hunches, I got this idea. There have been times when I've really felt like, God, I think that You're telling me to do this. Or, even the thing about we're going to fast and pray, these next couple Wednesdays. Now, I think I was hearing God, and I was praying last night. God, I really want to set aside some time for that. Should we do 3 days in a row or, three separate days or whatever? And I can't say that I audibly heard God, but I feel fairly confident that these are days that God has set aside for us to pray and fast. I know that one thing I do know is my flesh is not all that interested in setting aside some days of prayer and fasting. And I know the devil's not very interested in that. So it could be from God. Hallelujah. I think it is. But God wants to speak to us. And I think that's the thing that we just, if we knew how much He wants to be with us, to fellowship with us, to speak to us, to instruct us, to show us, to reveal Himself to us. He has, for those of you who are believers, are Christians, He has already revealed Himself to you. He's revealed to you a Savior who died on a cross. He's revealed to you the way of salvation, the way to heaven. That revelation didn't come because you had some kind of gifted teacher, preacher, or because somehow you came up with it on your own. God revealed that to you. Now, maybe you were in a place where you heard good preaching. You heard someone explain the gospel well. Or maybe there was a time when you were seeking and going after God and saying, God, show me. But then God intervenes and He shows and He speaks. Amen? And so, if some of you might have some sermon notes, I've got some out there in the back. I'm going to kind of zoom through the first part here. I'm looking to try to get to the third portion of the message on my notes here, which is where I want to spend most of my time. So, but God has spoken, God is speaking, and God will speak. God is speaking. God speaks through His creation. Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2, the heavens declare Your glory, the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. God is speaking through His creation to people. Amen? And He's speaking to people everywhere. It doesn't mean that everyone's listening. It doesn't mean everyone's got their eyes open to see it. But God is speaking. God's making Himself known. We hear Him speak through other people. I've got a couple of scripture references there from Romans and Second Chronicles, but some of those passages have to do with, you know, various people that God anointed to speak a prophetic word to someone else. And, you know, Nathan the prophet was someone who was called to go speak to David, the king of Israel at the time. And so the Holy Spirit does use people to speak to other people and to bring revelation. We hear and understand and have revelation from God through the Word of God. In the book of Ezra, there's a whole section there where the people of God were together, and it was like a day-long event. They were spending time listening to the reading of the Word of God. And late in the day, as they continued this, it says that the people were weeping because they were hearing the Word of God. God was revealing Himself to them through His Word. Again, it's another good lesson about staying in the Word of God, staying connected with the Word of God, spending time in there, because God can change your heart. If God can change their hearts, you know, this group of people that were there, and they were weeping when they heard the Word of God. God wants to change our hearts. God wants to touch us too. Amen. But we also do hear His voice, and I guess I was alluding to that a little bit ago. The Scriptures say that that His sheep hear His voice, that a stranger's voice they won't follow. Amen? And the implication is it's His sheep. So God does speak, and those who are disciples of His, those who are following Him, those who are connected with Him, do hear Him. Now, maybe we don't all hear as clearly as we would like to, but the longer you know this Good Shepherd, the more accustomed to His voice you become. And there are times when we sometimes hear things that we're not sure are right, and maybe they don't work out so well, and we go, well, I guess that was probably me, or that was the enemy. But we learn, you know, little by little, we learn how to listen to the Good Shepherd, listen to His leading. Amen. There's a bunch of references throughout the New Testament, but mostly in the book of Revelation, having to do with he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. You know, the letters to the seven churches and various places in Revelation. It says, he who has an ear, let him hear. And I think the key to hearing God is, it's not he who has an ear, not a physical ear. We all, you know, most of us have physical ears, okay? But what He's speaking about here is he who has the intention to listen to what God is saying. You know, they really want to know, God, what are You saying? What are You trying to tell me? Those are the people who will hear God. I think it's a prerequisite to hearing God speak and hearing God give you direction for your life is to be willing to say, God, I want to hear You. I want to know what You're saying. And that's what it means to have an ear. It's not having a physical ear. It's having an attitude and a mindset that says, I want to hear You, God. I want to know what You're saying. And that's crucial. If you don't have that, you're not going to hear a lot from God. I mean, God may speak through some circumstances. You know, I've heard people share their testimony sometimes, and they would say things like, well, God really used a 2x4 upside the head, you know, to get my attention. They didn't mean literally a 2x4, but God used some dramatic things. And I've experienced some of that kind of stuff too, when I wasn't listening, when I just, you know, I was going my own way. But for those of us who are following Him, God doesn't want to use a 2x4. God doesn't want to use dramatic things. He doesn't want to use big, you know, dangerous or harmful events to get our attention. He wants us to have an ear to hear. He wants us to say, God, I just want to hear You. And even if it's not really what I want to hear, God, I want to hear it, because if You're saying it, it's good. See, to have that kind of attitude to say, you know, God, show me what to do. Some of you are dealing maybe with situations in life, and you're kind of going, God, I need some direction. I just don't know which way to go. And, you know, we get mixed up with our own emotions and stuff like that. But it's really, really important to just say to God, God, listen, I want to hear You. I want to hear what You speak. And if You tell me something that I'm not necessarily interested in, I choose now, ahead of time, before You even give me clear direction, I choose now to do what You say. I choose to be obedient even before I have an understanding of what it is that you're going to ask me to do. I guess I could give an example or two there, but I'm just going to move on. There's a part that I really want to get to here. We speak and God listens. Amen. In Jeremiah 29, starting at verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." God is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, and he's saying to the children of Israel, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." He's talking about a time when Israel would finally come to that place of going after God and really wanting to hear from God. And God is saying to them, listen, when you do that, then I'll listen to you. And it says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." God is saying to these people and to us, if you will go after revelation for me, if you will go after an understanding of what I want for you, if you'll pursue that and lay aside, you know, we could say, God, not my will, but yours be done. That's what I want. I want your will, not mine. Amen. When we do that, I believe this scripture is true for all of us. When you seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. He's talking to Israel here, but God says, I will be found by you when you seek me. You know, I think people have this idea that somehow they're going to find God on their own and they're just going to go ahead and do it whenever they please. You know, God will reveal himself to us when we seek him. And sometimes we feel like, God, where are you? You're hiding. Well, he's not really hiding. He's just chosen not to reveal himself. But when we seek him, we go after him with all of our heart. That's when God reveals himself. That's when God shows us clearly. I can't tell you how many times I've had dilemmas in life, you know, issues that I just, you know, that I was dealing with. I'm thinking of one some years ago where an opportunity was presented to me and I really felt like, yeah, this would be really good. I really want to do this. And if I go into detail, I'm going to make the story too long. But the thing is, I wanted to, but somehow there was this little voice in the back of my head that says, you know, it's not according to the scriptures. And I remember even thinking of the verse in the scripture that spoke to the situation and then going, well, yeah, but it could mean, you know, it has a different meaning possibly in my case or something like that. You know how we tend to justify stuff. And well, one day, this was after about 2 weeks of really kind of struggling with the whole thing, and I thought, you know, maybe I should just open up the Bible and actually read that verse. And so I did that, and it was so clear. And it was like, this was so simple. Yeah, this is not your plan or your will for me, God. And I dropped it, but I didn't have, you know, when I was done with that, I didn't have this like, oh man, I really missed out. You know, God's really making me suffer. I felt good because I was on a path that God wanted me on. You know, I was doing what he wanted me to. And that's part of going after God. God, I need to hear from you. And when you hear from him and he gives you his word, he gives you a revelation of which way to go on a decision or whatever. And it may not be the answer that you wanted at first, but you've already had the attitude, God, I'm going to do what you want. And I'm going to do it with a smile on my face because you're good. Amen. And things work out then. Hallelujah. All right. Hearing God speak raises the dead. Now that's an interesting point. But hearing God speak raises the dead. The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. John 5:24 and 25. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. God raises the dead, from death to life. Amen. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. I want to just speak to this passage of Scripture, because this is really what's been on my heart last night and most of this morning, just this one, God raising the dead by speaking. And it's when we hear God speak, it brings life. But when people hear God speak, it brings life to them. I know that a lot of you are out talking to people, and when you bump into people in different places, you're witnessing, you're sharing the gospel with people. And yet, sometimes our efforts at evangelizing the lost are relatively powerless, because we may hand them tracts and we may talk to them about Jesus loves them and all of that, but sometimes it would be really good to have a word from God for that person specifically. And I think that works really well if you know the person. For instance, someone is struggling, someone's suffering with some kind of, let's say they're in the hospital, and you go to the hospital to visit them. Now, a couple weeks ago when everything was fine and they were healthy and everything was wonderful, they didn't really want to hear much about God. They weren't all that interested. But all of a sudden, you're coming with an attitude of, I am a messenger from God. Now, you don't have to go and tell them that, but you just say, you know what? I think this is what God is saying to you. And you can speak to them in the middle of their trouble and ask them, do you need prayer? Would you like me to pray for you? And you can speak and pray for them in those times. They're a whole lot more receptive to hearing what God has to say in that time and place, because now they're in a place of, they're sort of searching, they're sort of seeking. Sometimes they're not. I mean, I guess there have been times when I've seen people in desperate places who still weren't looking for God. And it's hard to get through to people like that. But there are people who, through their trouble, through their circumstance, God has brought them low. And that's a good place for them to hear God speak. Amen? And when we speak truth, when we speak truth, when we speak the Scriptures to them, when we speak the love of God to them, when we speak something that God put on our heart to tell them, it can bring life to something that's dead. Amen? And I want you to keep that in mind as you're out there sharing with people. Listen, it's more than just, you know, quote them all the right Scriptures, go through step one, step two, step three, or the seven-step evangelism, how to get somebody saved. You know, those are okay, but I'm saying you need a word from God for them specifically. Now, that word may be as simple as, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that's you, brother or sister, God gave his Son for you. See, when we personalize it for them, it's God speaking through us. Let me just explain it this way. If I knew someone who is struggling with something, and I feel like I really want to witness to them, I want to talk to them about Jesus, but if I could just have Jesus go to them and talk to them directly, that'd be really cool. You know, because, I mean, if they don't hear him, there's no hope. There's nothing I can do. But there's a chance that they'll hear him, that they'll hear what he has to say. Now, I think I need to have that same kind of attitude when I'm going and talking to them. To say, I'm not Jesus, but Jesus lives inside of me. Jesus is with me. His Spirit has filled me. I'm his servant. And in this particular situation, in this spot, in this time, me and this person, God is here. And God wants to use me, and God wants to speak through me. And so part of my silent prayer sometimes is, God, what are you saying to this person? There have been a lot of times when we've done the movies out here during the last couple summers that I will walk up to someone after a movie, and I'll start with kind of a small talk. So, you know, what did you think of the movie? Or, you know, I'm glad you came and all of that. And I would say, you know, well, how are things going? Oh, yeah, everything's fine. I said, well, would you mind if I prayed for you? But then, and when they say yes, I'll begin to pray for them. And I'll say, Lord, pray through me. God, I just want to hear with my ear, my spiritual ear, what you are saying. What is your plan, your will, or what is your prayer for this person? And help me, Lord, to hear that and speak that. And I can't tell you how many times that I've done that. And I haven't always been as good at that, but I'm working on it, you know. To hear God and to say what he's saying, to speak what he's speaking, to pray what he would pray, as if Jesus himself were there praying for that person. And many times I've seen people, you know, I open up my eyes when we get done praying and they're crying and they're just going, how did you know? How did you know all that stuff? I didn't. But God knew. Listen, God brings life into dead places. God brings those people who are walking in death and on a wide road to hell. He wants to bring them into life. And you've got to hear from God in order to give them a word from God. You understand what I'm saying? Hearing God's voice, hearing God speak to your heart is great for direction for yourself, and we need that. But when you're out talking to other people, you need to hear from God. You need to know what God is saying to them so that you can get through, so that God can get a word in. Sometimes I wonder if in the middle of our witnessing, God is standing in the background just going, gee, I'd sure like to say something. But they're so busy talking and talking and quoting 100 scriptures and doing this and doing that and thinking it's all great. And then people walk away and you go, well, I don't know. That's religion's a crutch. Or that's, if it's good for you, that's all right. But I don't need that. I got something else. But when they hear God instead of us, you know, and I think God sometimes, like I say, is in the background going, you know, I'd like to say something. Would you mind just stepping aside a second? Harry, Pastor Harry, step aside. I want to say something. And so that's what we need to do, all of us, when we're out sharing with other people. We need to step aside and allow God to speak through us. And you know what I'm talking about, because a lot of you have experienced sometimes there's just something inside of you that you just can't put it down. You just go, I just got to share this. And sometimes I preface those things with, well, you know, I'm not really sure, but I think that God is trying to tell me something to tell you. So I would just like you to hear me out for a second and hear what he has to say. And we speak, and God brings life into dead places. Amen? It is absolutely essential that we hear the voice of God. I don't think even Peter, his first sermon there in the book of Acts, was something he worked on for a couple weeks ahead of time and got all the points down, Roman numeral 1, 2, 3, and 4, and here's how I'm going to do, and here's how I'm going to conclude, and here's my altar call. You know what? He was being led by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He was speaking what God was speaking, and is it any wonder that 3,000 were saved that day? Because God was speaking. It wasn't Peter. Yeah, Peter was the voice for God at that point. But God was using Peter as a vessel, as an instrument. And that's got to be our attitude. God, use me. Speak through me. Speak to me so that I can give something that's valuable to others. Not just cute religious phrases and sayings and, you know, well, you're, you know, turn or burn. Well, that doesn't mean a whole lot to a lot of people. You know, to them, in fact, to some people, they look at it as, he's kind of a grumpy guy, you know. If he claims to know God, why is he so mean and grouchy? You know. Yeah. By the way, you will get accused sometimes of, you know, being, well, you think you're better than everyone else. Well, no, not really. But I'm more saved than a lot of people are. I'm going to heaven. God thinks I'm, you know, good. Got some good things ahead of me. So, amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2, just verse 1 and verses 4 and 6. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, think about your own story. There was a time when you were dead in sin. That's what the Bible calls it, dead in sin. and God revealed himself to you. And you connected with God. You know, people don't get born again by praying a sinner's prayer. They get born again by saying, "Oh God, I've sinned. I've grieved you. I'm wrong, God. Please forgive me." And that may come in a sinner's prayer. But just reciting a bunch of words without a connection to God, without a heart behind it. I know that there have been times when I've led people in a quote-unquote sinner's prayer, a prayer of commitment to Jesus, and it didn't really seem like they were really interested in it. They were more like, "Okay, I'll do this so I can get out of here, you know, so this guy will quit bugging me. I'll just pray the prayer that he wants me to pray." And I don't know, maybe God would still plant a seed or something in them, but you can tell sometimes there's just very little interest. There's not a connection with God. They're just doing it to make me happy. And that's not going to help them. Hallelujah. You he made alive who were dead in trespasses. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. The reason you have a connection with Jesus, a real connection, the reason that you're in the family of God, because something real happened. Amen. It wasn't a ritual. It wasn't some kind of religious ceremony. It was something that was a transaction between you and God. There was a communication going on. God was speaking, and you were speaking to him. Amen. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. There's a verse from Proverbs 18. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, the death and life is in the power of the tongue. We speak sometimes, and we're speaking life or death to ourselves or to others around us. And you know what? We really do want to speak life. I mean, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Who would raise their hand and say, "I'd like death, please," you know? Every one of us wants life, but we want the real thing. Then we need to be in that place where we're hearing what God is saying. You know, if God is speaking life, it's good. And if God is using us to speak life to others, it's good for them. It's good for us too. I mean, God will bless us for that, but it's good for them, because there's just going to be more people in the family of God, more people in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when people hear God, I was reading some stories in a book that I just got earlier in the week, just all various little short stories about hearing God's voice and hearing what God would say. And in one of the stories, there was a little boy who was a troublemaker, and he was in school, you know, always causing trouble. And the teachers had a meeting, and they thought about expelling him. But it was, you know, a bunch of Christians, and they said, "Why don't we just spend some time listening to God and seeing what God would say?" And so they listened, and God said, "No, you keep him, but approach him." So they approached him. And the one lady who talked to this little boy, who was, like I say, always disturbing the class and causing problems for the teachers, she said, "You know what? Why don't we go up to the prayer room and we'll just spend some time just listening to see what God would say to you." And so he did that and went with her. And he said, "But I want to go in by myself." And he went in by himself and sat down. And he was just still before the Lord. And a little while later, the teacher is kind of wondering, "I wonder what's going on in there." So she went in and she said, "Well, what happened?" And she said, "Well, did God tell you anything?" He said, "God says I should listen to you, listen to my teachers." And what else did he say? He said, "Well, God said, I make him cry." And it broke that little boy's heart, and that boy changed. But he heard from God. And it turned out, it wasn't too long before he was first in his class. And things happened, changed in his house. In fact, his parents came to the school and said, "What did you do to my son? You know, he's so different. What happened?" Because that child heard from God. Amen? And that's why we need to hear from God. And that's why people need to hear from God. Because it can be life-changing, and it's got a domino effect affecting other people all around. I think this this young man, if I remember right, his parents were always fighting, and there were some things that happened in that home that began to change too as a result. Hallelujah. Psalm 29, just verses 3 to 9. I love this passage of Scripture because it's speaking about the power of the voice of the Lord. And I'm thinking of it in light of some of the spiritual change that can happen when we hear God. But it says, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare. And all in his temple say, glory." Amen. To me, that's a picture of the power of the voice of God, the word of God. When God speaks, big things happen. Now, I know these are all things that have to do with nature, or most of them, but I'm thinking of the spiritual connection with all of this. When we hear God, big things can happen. You know, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what kind of a decision that you're trying to come to or figure out or know what it is that you're saying, God. When God speaks, it can alter that situation from right now. When you hear his voice, I think there's another passage in the Psalms, which I don't have referenced here, but, you know, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You know, when we hear God, let's go for it. Let's determine ahead of time, God, I want to hear you, and when you speak, I'm going to run with it. I'm going to go with it. I'm determined to do what you want, because it can bring a change. It can bring a real change. I want to encourage all of us as I start to conclude here to spend time with God. And maybe we don't say it enough. We say it every once in a while, but get up early if you need to, or stay up late if you need to, but get in a place where you can spend time listening to God. Amen. Open up his word, read it, pray. But when it's all said and done and you set the book down, or you're just kind of meditating on one of the scriptures, just say, God, what are you saying to me? God, speak to me. Or you may be, you know, in a situation where you're really troubled about something. You really need some help with something. You need some kind of direction, which way to go. God, would you show me? I'll just help me to be still. I think that's probably the hardest thing for a lot of us, is being still. Maybe it is easier at 5 in the morning because there isn't a whole lot going on, a lot of brainwave activity. But hearing God is a powerful thing, and we need it for ourselves, for our lives, for our family. We need it for the world that we live in. There are people that are hurting and dying out there who need to hear from God. Amen? Hallelujah. So, listen to Jesus. Matthew 17:5. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." This is the Father speaking from heaven, saying, "This is my Son." This is Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth. Hear him. You know what? We've got to hear him. I know we hear him in the scriptures. Spend time hearing Jesus, giving you direction, telling you what to do, showing you. In fact, a lot of times, if we were willing to be still, Jesus himself would show us stuff that's inside of us that's not quite right. maybe grudges that we're holding or unforgiveness or things that we've forgotten about that we haven't dealt with, things that aren't right. But if we will hear Jesus, he'll show us and he'll make a way for us to fix those things, to take the broken things and fix them. That's not just for us, but, you know, relationships and all of that. Amen? But God, our Heavenly Father, is speaking from heaven and he's saying, hey, this is my son. Hear him. And I'm going to conclude with a passage out of Proverbs chapter 1. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out at the chief concourses and at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, O simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one has regarded. Because you have disdained all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, they will call upon me. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer them. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Amen. There's the contrast. The contrast, again, the scriptures are so full of all of these contrasts of this is what happens if you do this, but if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. Amen. And when God is speaking, that's the time for us to say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. I want to hear what you say. Speak, Lord, give me direction, give me clarity, and help me to go your way, and help me to drop my way. Help me to dump the stuff that I want to do, and help me to go your way, God. Amen. It's absolutely essential for us and for the world around us. A lost and dying world doesn't need a bunch of Christians who are just playing games with God. Amen. We need to hear from God, and we need to bring the truth of God to them as if God himself were speaking it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand up this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we praise you and we thank you this morning, Lord, that you are speaking. And Lord, it is our heart attitude this morning, Lord, that we want to look at, and that, God, we just ask you this morning to help us to change our heart, to change our attitude about listening, about hearing what you're saying. Lord, too often we have put off the things that you've been instructing us to do. And Lord, we don't want to be like the foolish ones in the book of Proverbs there that are spoken of, who hear and hear and hear but never obey, never follow, never go after you. God, we want to be quick to obey. We want to listen to your voice. We want to hear you. And God, we want to pursue your message, your word, for a lost and dying world around us. Lord, as we present Jesus as the only Savior, as the only hope, God, I pray that you would help us to speak it in a way that it can be received, that people would know that this Jesus is the one who died for them. This Jesus is the one who is raised from the dead, and this Jesus is the one that's coming back again to judge the living and the dead. Hallelujah. Father God, help us to pursue you. Help us to listen to your voice. Help us to go after you, God. Help us, Lord, to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen.